Let us pray. Almighty God, by your Spirit, tell us those things that we most need to hear this day. May we hear with joy your good news. Startle us, O God, by your living word. And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and you are our Redeemer. Amen. Maybe you remember the movie As Good As It Gets. The lead actor in the movie, the star of the movie, was Jack Nicholson, and he plays an OCD, an obsessive compulsive writer. He has written more than 60 romance novels. His name is Marvin Udall. Marvin lives alone in a New York City apartment in an exclusive building, and Marvin is a very busy man. Marvin spends several hours of his day writing. Also making up his day, when he walks down the sidewalks of New York City, he puts great planning and great time to ensure that he never, this is his OCD, he never steps on a crack in the New York City sidewalk. Marvin puts great effort into making sure that when he's walking down the sidewalk, that he doesn't even as much as brush up against another person as he walks down those crowded streets. Another one of Marvin's habits is insulting everyone he encounters. Marvin is prejudiced and he is angry. And he is not afraid to share it. He is always quick to verbalize an insult. Marvin, he hates his neighbor. He hates him for many reasons, but he hates his neighbor because his neighbor is gay. He hates his neighbor's dog. Marvin, he hates all of the Jewish customers, he says, who go into his favorite restaurant, who dare to sit at his table in his spot. And Marvin always has an insult about women. When anyone says a friendly word or tries to start a caring conversation with Marvin, he doesn't listen, but he's always looking for a way to have a cutting or cruel comment for that person. Mr. Udall in the movie, he has another pastime that takes up a lot of his day, and that is washing his hands. In the movie, there's a scene where he goes into his bathroom and he opens up the medicine cabinet, and there on the shelves in his medicine cabinet are stacks of brand new bars of antibacterial soap. They're all wrapped up, still in the boxes or still in the paper wrappers from the store. They have never been touched by human hands. And Marvin goes into his bathroom and he begins this hand-washing ritual. And each time he goes in, he starts by turning on the water and he'll take a brand new bar of soap. And he'll open the brand new bar and he'll swipe it across one part of his hand. And then he'll take it. And he'll just drop it in the waste basket. And then he will reach into the medicine cabinet and pull out another brand new bar of soap. And then he will wipe it across another section of his hand. And then he'll toss that one in the waste basket, only to unwrap another. Now, the water that he uses to wash his hands is blazing hot. Steam is coming up out of the sink, fogging up the mirror. The water is almost blistering his hands. So in this movie, Marvin Udall, he has clean hands. Out of his mouth is verbal garbage that cuts and wounds other people. But his hands, they're clean enough that you could eat off of them. Out of his mouth, insults. hatred, gossip. But his hands, they're pure. They are clean. And Jesus reminds the Mr. Udall in all of us. You know, it's really not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. It's what comes out of our mouths that is defiling and death dealing and cutting and hurtful. In the text that Ashley read, Jesus here, his words, they take head on the Pharisees as they criticize the disciples. You can just imagine the scene. There are the Pharisees. They're standing back. They're criticizing the disciples because Jesus and his followers, his disciples, they are not following this pre-meal hand-washing ritual. They're complaining that Jesus and his disciples, they say you're missing the point because you're not following the rules, the traditions. And the Pharisees, they were certain that they knew what one should or should not do on the Sabbath. And because Jesus and his disciples did not follow those traditions, they were labeled unclean. Now, these rules, they're rooted in Scripture and they were given by God to keep hearts focused. The goal was to keep people mindful of our duty to God and our duty to our neighbors. And Jesus knew what these rules were all about. He knew about their intentions and he knew the purpose of the Sabbath. But there are the Pharisees, the religious insiders, the religious establishment. They look at these rules and these laws and these traditions, and they became the substitute of a heart relationship with God. We can honor God with our lips, Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah. We can have all of the right words, all of the right rituals and procedures, while our hearts are still far from God. Clean hands are not enough. Right rituals are not enough. Lasting traditions are not enough. And as one writer says, cleanliness may be next to godliness, but it is sure not a substitute for it. And Jesus contends that harmful words, that they demonstrate evil intentions, and they lead to harmful results, and they come from the heart, and they destroy. I have a younger sister. She's about 5 years younger than I am. And when we were young, we would get into the worst fights. We could fight with the best of them. And out would come cutting words and insults and verbal assaults. And it would just break my mom's heart, as it does any parent's heart. And my mom would say, "I just wish you could hear yourselves." I remember some of those words. And looking back to those words, and then thinking back to many other words, hurtful words that I have said and heard since then, I wish it were true that sticks and stones could break bones, but words never hurt, because they do hurt. But here's the good news. God's Spirit is alive in us and is leading us to a better way. I know these patterns are hard to break, but God is creating a new community, an alternative community in our midst with us. leads us to a better way. These patterns of hurtful words, they just are so hard to break. The habit of gossip, it's hard to break. The habit of judging and prejudice and cruelty is hard to break because we are 100% sinners. And those types of words feed our sinful nature. It's hard to break this subtle pattern where you're always promoting yourself over others. But not only are we 100% sinners, we're also 100% saints. And God is calling us and has empowered us to be an alternative community. It's different from the culture around us. And God will take your life and will cleanse you. I offer you an invitation today in this regard. Try listening for good words. Listen for good words. Words that heal. Wholesome words. Words that are characterized by hope. Listen this week to good words. And the second part of my invitation is just try for a week. Maybe that would lead to more. To only speak good words. As I have thought about this sermon, I've tried it. I invite you to do the same. Several weeks ago, I was in Family Dollar. I was standing in line, had the things I needed to pick up. We were actually on vacation, and we could find the Family Dollars wherever they are. We found the Family Dollar, and I had to run down and buy something that we had forgotten. And I was standing there, and there was this guy standing in front of me in line and had his little boy who was toddler age. And you would never guess what I heard this guy say to his little toddler son. He said, "I love you, and I am so glad that I get to be your dad." And this little boy, when he said that, he just smiled from ear to ear. And I felt my spirit, it was lighter. It had made me think about my girls, the way I feel about them. And his words, they refreshed my soul in a way. And it seemed that with his good words that they even had the power to take some of the grime of hurtful words and cause that just to melt away. And those words, even though I just overheard them, they weren't spoken to me, those words, in a way they made me feel hopeful. Within the last week, I was on the phone with a relative, and this relative was complaining. Do you have any relatives that you get on the phone and they complain? Does that ever happen to you? It was a familiar story filled with complaints, and it was about another one of our relatives, about her problems and her bad choices and all the ways that she has failed. And I said something like this, "Yeah, I know, but you know, maybe she's doing her best, and she is kind. And maybe she deserves to be happy now, too." I tell you, that made the conversation a lot shorter when I said that. But I have to tell you that I felt a little more purified when I hung up the phone. And every time one of those dark gossipy, quiet, under the table conversations come along, and I let it pass by, I always feel a little more free. You know, it's kind of like you're standing on this platform at the train station. You're standing on the boarding platform, and you see it coming, because you always see those conversations coming. You see it coming, this negative and gossipy and cruel, this conversation rolling into the station. You don't have to get on board. You can just let that train pass on by. In fact, Jesus invites you to not get on board. There is nothing inside of a person that's going to defile you, Jesus says. It's the things that come out of your mouth. Every year, most of us, we go to the doctor and we get a physical. And one of the things the doctor checks is our heart. And my doctor, she asked me when we're talking about my heart, what's been going in my mouth, right? But what Jesus makes a recommendation to us today is to check your heart. Look at your heart. Look deep within. Check your heart. And then start watching what comes out. Let us pray. Kind and loving God, You live us to live in a way that is different from this culture around us. You call us to live with good words that are life-giving, that bring hope and promise. By Your Spirit, move us to be that community, those individuals. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Our response hymn today is printed in your bulletin. You will recognize the tune, but it is a new text written for this scripture passage. I invite you to stand and sing the hymn, The Well-Loved Traditions. As we come closer to the Lord's table, consider how God would have you to respond. Please stand to sing.